I hate it here. I'm ready, Jim. He'll come back. Well, I see the live button that we're live. Hey, the world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. So I don't know what's going on there. We're not able to get the theme song up there. But man, oh, man, talking about me now, I'm in far better condition than I was yesterday. Coming to you from some underground bunker out near an ocean. I'm not going to tell you where it is. A couple days to get away. I didn't do a whole lot of surfing on my internet yesterday. I didn't get trapped, caught in the trappings of the world. If I pull up my shirt, which I won't, you'll see that I spent a little bit of time out in the sun yesterday and feeling good, relaxed with my family. I want to start today with a little bit of an apology about yesterday. I won't go into the whole details, but I had a hard time getting connected. Let's just leave it at that. Several different things came together to keep me from getting connected. And so when I finally did get connected, Mike, who was directing the show, told Larry to go ahead and start doing the teaching. Larry was in the middle of the teaching, and then boom. I come flying back in about 8 minutes later, and then I kind of took over for about 20 minutes because I thought I'm running the show. And then the next thing I know, Larry said wanted to finish the teaching. So I apologize. I didn't know where I was. And then about a quarter of, I got knocked off. So that was one of the most. I kept breaking the huddle. You understand what I'm saying? I wouldn't end up. Thank you, Lord. See, that's what happens when you're not in the huddle on time. Talking about football now. I've seen it happen a lot of times. A guy comes running in with the play, and then a guy comes running in late, and as they're breaking the huddle, you've probably seen it, the quarterback stopping, and he's telling him what to do, and the guy's trying to catch the whole thing, and a lot of times it doesn't work very efficiently because the guy missed the play. He didn't know what the play was. That was me yesterday. And so I apologize for that, and we're going to move forward here today. A lot of crazy, crazy, crazy stuff that's going on, as we all know. Larry, I'm going to ask you real quickly here. Hey, guys, listen. It's all about deception. It's all about deception. And again, to use the football analogy, the enemy's got about 12 different bootlegs going at the same time. Now, can I tell you why the enemy's got 12 different bootlegs going on at the same time? Because they're all on the same page. The devil's team, they're all on the same page. They all have the same goal. One of the things I emphasized to the guys before we got on the queue here this morning, what is today, the 21st of, I think it's the 21st of August. September, I'm sorry. I'm somewhere. One of the things I emphasized to them before we got on the queue is that, I just lost my train of thought. That happens to me. I'll go a different direction, then it'll come back to me. We have to, our enemy is totally, folks, hear me. Our enemy's totally united. They're totally and completely united. God's team is not at all. In fact, it says in Psalm 133, I believe, that where there is unity, God will command the blessing. In fact, it says in the, when you're reading about the Tower of Babel, God said if they were to unify, there was nothing that they couldn't do. You guys know that scripture? One of the problems I'm going to have again today, I'm on my phone rather than on my computer just because of internet connectivity here. But God said that if they got together, it wouldn't be anything he wouldn't be able to do when they're building the Tower of Babel. The power of agreement. Really, really powerful. When you get two guys pulling the same direction, it's amazing what you can move. And the enemies figured that out. And we, the church, of course, we're not even at one bit unified, even from the beginning, because what do we call it? We call our little clubs, our little groups, we call them denominations. And as I've said before, that's a math term. Denominator. Remember when you're in second grade? The teacher drew the little box to teach you division. And in the middle of the box, you put the number 32. And outside the box, you put that little number 4 into 32, this is the numerator. That means that's the whole number. And this is the denominator. That's the number by which we are going to divide the whole group. So we have denominations, and all the Christians are in the box, and then we take our denominations and we split those little things and we divide it, and we come up with, I saw something like 30,000 different denominations in Christianity, 30,000.
Thanks, Coach. I never realized denominations, by definition, are dividers.
Larry, you broke up to me. Did he break up to everybody else, or was it just me? Let me put my glasses on a second. Because I think what you said was important, but I didn't hear it. Try it again.
I says, thanks for saying that. I'd never seen it before. Denominations, by definition, are dividers. And, you know, the Bible is not...
Are you guys hearing Larry, or is it on my end? You hearing him okay? Because he's breaking up on mine. I'm sorry, Larry.
Yeah, we can hear you, Larry.
Okay, let me redo my mic.
Jared, are you hearing Larry?
Yes.
Okay, because it's breaking up on mine. I'm sorry, Larry. I can't really respond to what you said because it broke up. But denominations, again, the idea is to divide. So we got all these Christians, and we put them in all these boxes. And once you get put in all those boxes, you're in 15 or 20 different huddles. And I remember, you'll think I'm crazy, but this is the way my mind operates. I was at Ohio Stadium where the Ohio State Buckeyes play. This is about 15 years ago, probably. I got up in C deck. For those of you who don't know, C deck's really high. There's 109,000 people to get into an Ohio State football game. So when you're in there and you're up in C deck, you can't. I mean, it's like you're watching it from an airplane. And I got a revelation when I was sitting there. Really was. It was about 15 years ago. I'm sitting there watching the game. Of course, I'm a football coach, and I'm used to operating down on field level, and I very rarely get to go up high and look at it. So I'm sitting up high, and I'm looking low, and I realized that all of a sudden I had the perspective of God in regards to this football game. From up there where I was sitting in C deck, there wasn't anything I couldn't see. I could see everything that was going on. Now, I had a bird's eye view or God's eye view. I didn't have the close-up view, but I had God's eye view. And I could see very clearly what was going on, what the other side was doing. And I know that in a football game, when I was a head football coach, and I know that Ohio State University, when they're playing a football game, that there is a connection called headphones that the coach on the field puts on his head, and it connects him with the guy in the press box. So the information that is gathered in the press box makes it down to the guy on the field. You guys follow my analogy here? Well, here's the problem. The devil's team comes out on the field, and they huddle up, and they run into one great big huddle. You got the abortionists, you got the paganists, you got the atheists, you got the homosexuality sexualists, you got the big government. You got all those dudes, and they're on the same huddle calling a play. And then God shows me his team, govern his team, and they're all huddled up. There's only one problem. They're in 30 different huddles, each one calling their own play. And so we're trying to win a game against a team that's in one huddle, and we're in 30 different huddles, and we're not organized at all. And the Lord's sitting up in the press box, and he's yelling down, won't somebody put on the headphones? Won't somebody put on the headphones? And that's where we are. We're disunified. There's no unity. Denominations. Larry, I think it was Larry or Kevin maybe, one of them said before we went on the air that evidently George Soros just gave, was it $500 million? Sarge, is that what it was? George Soros just gave $500 million, can I say it, to the destruction of Christianity. He just gave $500 million to the destruction of Christianity. Remember, that's what this whole thing is about. And can somebody tell me how we're fighting back in that same way? Oh, I know what we're doing. We're giving money to Republicans. As if Republicans are going to fight God's war. Boy, it's getting bright out. The sun's coming up. Beautiful sunrise. So listen, guys. My friend Mark Harrington, who I love dearly, with Created Equal, a real warrior in abortion fight. He told me something I'll never forget. He told me 15 years ago as well. He says, Coach, we lose because Christians give to their children. God haters give to causes. Let me say it again. Christians give to their children or save for their children. The God haters spend every cent they have because they want to win here and now. They're not worried about the afterlife. They believe if they can get the perfect kind of society here and now. So they're investing every cent that they have into destroying America. Now, there's good news in there. Those God haters aren't having kids for the most part. So they're gonna run out of numbers. But neither are we. We're going down the same direction in the church. So I just thought that was interesting. I'm not asking for your money. I'm not begging for your money. I don't want you to think that. But think of the hundreds of billions of trillions of millions of zillions of dollars that are funneled through the church, and there's no common purpose at all in the church. All of that money not going to anything. All of the hundreds of millions of dollars going to what? Plasma TVs and salaries and blacktop and advertising and printing. And not that we don't have to have that, but we do. But because we don't understand the larger picture, we give to the church. Church decided not to fight the fight. Somebody say something so I can see if my audio is working, if it's just on my end. Sarge, go ahead and say something.
Amen, Sarge. Coach. It's good.
Yeah, work. I hear you. Go ahead. I heard that one, Rich.
Yeah, Sarge, you're coming in good, Coach.
Okay. I was worried about it coming on my end because I didn't hear Larry very good at all. So, Larry, what's going on? We saw that, again, I was talking about bootlegs. I bootlegged around the corner on you on that one, didn't I? Follow the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. I'm talking about the enemy running multiple bootlegs. Every one of their teams are running a deceptive play that is part of the whole. It's part of the whole. Black Lives Matter, we see them at work. We see the abortion industry at work. We see the homosexual lobby at work. We see the God haters at work. We see the globalists at work. They're all on the same team, and they're doing everything they can to create. Does anybody know the word they're trying to create? If you don't, I'm going to help you. Hang on a minute. They even stuck a little bit of Islam in there for us over the week.
Looks like we lost them.
We lost that maniac.
Well, I wasn't sure where he's going. Otherwise, I would continue. Anybody have anything on that?
The word I think he's about ready to spill on us is the word chaos.
Yeah.
He'll be, listen, it's unfortunate, but he'll be back.
Well, while we're waiting for him, has anybody seen any headlines on the Pope's visit to Israel this week? Supposedly, he's supposed to be making some big announcement, and I haven't found much other than some precursor notes on Breitbart, which I just posted one in the chat about, you know, Pope going to announce one world religion kind of stuff. But I haven't seen anything concrete in the last couple of days.
Well, I tell you, everything I have seen about the Pope since he got in the office has just made me cringe every time he opens his mouth.
Yeah.
He's a mess. He's a mess.
By design, I think.
Has anybody heard any more about our retreat in November?
Well, I can tell you that we now have a live registration page up online. If you go to the calendar on CoachDaveLive.com and find it in the November calendar, there's a little icon to click on for tickets, and it'll take you to the sign-up page. It's still planned, as far as I know, for Warsaw, Ohio, at Bill Dunphy's church, and
right.
8th or 17th through 20 November. More specific details to follow as soon as they get firmed up.
Thank you.
This is being touted as the first annual boot camp, which means this is a longer than a normal boot camp since it's got an extra day to it. So I'm sure Coach has been thinking about what he's going to have besides himself at that event. Maybe another speaker or two, maybe more, I don't know. But hopefully we'll firm that up over the next 8 to 10 days so we can start pushing that, because we do want to be able to tell people at the Hear the Watchman conference, not this weekend, but the weekend of the 30th and the 1st and 2nd of October. We'll be pushing that hard to get people to come up to Ohio for that event.
Yeah, I don't know if Coach can hear us or not, but, you know, I would think it might be kind of refreshing at one of these retreats or whatever you want to call them, conferences or whatever, that instead of the normal everybody does it bunch of speakers and giving, you know, giving their presentations or whatever up there, have some seminars where, you know, groups of people actually get around and let the Holy Spirit lead some digging into the Word with some seminars on various subjects and stuff. Combination and stuff.
Well, given he's got that extra day in the plan, that might make some sense to do some things. I'm not sure what we know or what the coach has on in his mind about what needs to occur in terms of some seminar type subjects and training, but maybe we'll have some opportunity to discuss that next week before we head down to Knoxville.
It looks like Dave may be back.
Unbelievable. That's the devil. The devil's after me. I don't know. My wife's standing right back here listening to it. I can't. So here I am. I'm back. So anyway, I don't want to lose track of where I was. So they're doing it. It's bootlegs. It's deception. It's all tied together, and we don't understand. And I said they threw the Muslims in on us last week. Are you looking at this thing, what's going on in America with spiritual eyes? Are you really able to see what's going on? It's distract, distract, distract. Gay marriage, transgender, Muslims, Hillary, Trump. I mean, it's just the devil is the author of confusion. You with me? It's all confusion. Everything swirling around us is confusion. Now, here's what I want you to know. It's because we're really, really a dangerous point. We're at a really dangerous point. Financially, it looks like there's a lot of things that are getting ready to happen in regards to the economy. And if you guys aren't prepared, and if you don't think that a financial collapse is possible, maybe just around the corner, and I don't know what to tell you. If you haven't taken some preparation, we talked about that last week. If you haven't done some preparing as far as having some money available to you and some food and some water and some of those necessities, if you haven't done that, we're coming into a very critical time financially because the fiscal calendar resets on October 1st. And in this global economy, this global world, how did we get there? How did poor little old me sitting here in Hebron, Ohio, how in the name of double hockey sticks did I get connected to what's going on in China? How did that happen to me? How did I get connected to what's going on in Germany? It's the globalist agenda. Now, guys, remember Obamacare? How long ago was that? And JR always told me, he said, no, back when that whole debate was going on, JR, who was in the medical field or medical supplies field, said, listen, this thing's already set up. This has gone through. They're not going to pull the plug on Obamacare. And so they set up Obamacare to fail. That's why they set it up, to fail. They don't want it to work. They wanted it to fail so the government could get control of it. That's going to happen to us soon, especially here in this collapse that's coming just around the corner. So another distraction, I started this down this road about 7 times now, is gas shortage. Hey, guys, come on here a second. Got a fuel shortage supposedly down in the Carolinas, down where Larry is. I'm going to have Larry speak to that here in a second. The fuel shortage? Haven't they just been telling us that we're overstocked and gas prices are going down because we've got so much fuel? And now they want us to believe that, oh, my goodness, we've sprung a big leak and we're losing all this gas. And, oh, my goodness, it's going to be long line. Larry, give us an update. What the heck's going on down there in South Carolina? Hey, guys. Keep your eye on the ball. They're running a bootleg on you. They got you looking one place, and they're attacking another. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, it's really weird. On the 9th of September, there was a spillage in a pipeline, a fuel pipeline, that spilled, and according to that report on the 9th, it was about 250,000 gallons, which would be about 10 filling stations worth of of fuel, holding in, you know, all the tanks in one filling station holds about 2,500 gallons for an average size filling station. So that's 10 filling stations full. Okay. And then about a week later, you saw it on your phone there in Louisiana that there was being an emergency declared in some states because of a fuel shortage. Now, Brian and I, driving back to South Carolina, we needed to fill up with gas just on the South Carolina, you know, headed towards South Carolina out of Atlanta. And I pull off the interstate, and all the gas pumps have bags over the delivery handles. No, and gas station after gas station, no gas. So we go to the next exit, no gas. So I go in and ask the guy what's going on, you know, knowing it's probably got to do with the spill. Although, how come a little old bitty 250,000 gallons caused all that? I don't know. But anyway, he says, you got to go back toward Atlanta to find gas. There's no gas to the east. So we had to backtrack 11 miles to find a gas station that had gas, and it was 50 cents more than it was on the way to Louisiana. And then I get here to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they're not out of gas yet, but a lot of the stations are already out of regular gas, you know, the unleaded cheap stuff, and they're out of the mid-grade. Some of them still had some of the high-powered stuff. And then very first time on the radio yesterday afternoon, I finally heard a local news thing about the gas shortage. And then I saw something about gas shortage up in the Northeast they're expecting, because all because of a spill of about 10 gas stations worth of gas. They're pulling a hoodoo something somewhere, and everybody seems to be working together on this play. Like you said, Coach,
Larry, now this isn't new to a spill. This isn't like they've got a stick it off. This was just a spill. This was just a spill of a understand. A bit of technical problems with Larry. Mike, you hearing me okay? So I know I'm still
really
alive and cooking.
No, you were breaking up. I think you're okay now.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. So anyway, listen. What time is it there, Mike?
It is 7:22.
Okay, cool. 7:22. So, guys, listen, there's a lot of these distractions that are going on around us. A lot of them. We got to keep our eye on the ball. We know there's no fuel shortage. We know there's never been a fuel shortage. But we do know that fuel is one of the ways that they're going to try to manipulate us. And they're especially trying to manipulate us now, as I believe that we're heading towards the fiscal reset on October 1st. And you can follow a lot of guys online, a lot of guys who are in the know, whatever you want to call them, and they're telling us to be prepared for a financial fall, because ultimately that's the way it's going to happen, in my humble opinion. Anybody add anything to the group before I move off of this one? Keep your eye on the ball. Remember, is the author. He runs the best bootlegs. He runs the best counterplays that were ever designed. He runs them the best. And it's easy for us to get distracted. Zika virus, right? Isn't that another distraction now? A lot of this is because of the time in which we live, and that news is instantaneous. News instantaneous, but news is almost temporary. Today's news are really old news tomorrow, unless they want to keep it at the top of the news cycle. If they want to keep it at the top of the news cycle, then you better ask yourself why. Why is it that they want to keep this thing rolling? And don't ever lose sight of the fact that it's all about diversion, confusion. That's what we're developing with here. So connect that dot to the fact that not only is there diversion and confusion, huddle. The church is not on the same play. It's almost impossible for us to counter what's going on. In fact, some of you know there's a game being played. The church, they turned off the plasma TVs. Nobody's allowed to watch what's going on out in the world. And then the pastor's going to preach to them about something that's, I suppose it's important, but it's totally and completely irrelevant to what's going on. You with me? Let's move on here a second. Hey, Jared, I gave you a couple videos the other day. read them to me, bud, because my computer's over in the other area if I walk over there. Fred, we got the one on globalism. Yeah, okay, I know what they are, Jared. You don't have to show me. Guys, I'm going to tell you this. We are seeing the reemergence of the WASPs. See, Coach, you said that a long time ago. I know, but I'm trying to help you see and understand what's going on. That the pushback that's coming all across America, all across the world, really, is a reemergence of the WASPs. But it's more than WASPs. It's the true spirit of Christ, that true, because Christianity was spread by the WASPs. That spirit is being awakened all across the globe. And I'm going to show you right here, it's a 3-minute commercial for Trump. And I don't want you to think that I am, showing this to try to influence you one way or another for Trump. That's not the point. But I want you to watch this 3-minute commercial he put together and notice where all these uprisings are coming. Okay, just notice this and ask yourself if you're seeing these uprisings where they're predominantly blacks or where they're predominantly Hispanics or where they're predominantly Asians. See if all these uprisings that you're going to watch in this 3-minute commercial that Trump made, especially watch it towards the end, and see if your spirit eyes don't show you that there's something going on that we don't understand. Now, we're calling it nationalism. Remember Brexit? Do you remember that? Was it a couple months ago, Brexit, when the British left the European Union? Brexit meaning British exit from the European Union. And why did the Brexit leave the European Union? Well, we know why. Because they wanted their national sovereignty back. And what was their national sovereignty? I promise you this. It sure wasn't Islam. It sure wasn't Islam. So they had to call it something else because they're not allowed to say this. They were not allowed to admit what's going on around us is a holy war. It's a holy war. Why is it a holy war? Because it's a war between two religions. Well, actually, yeah, Christianity and all the other false religions. That's where the war is. And so those of us who carry the name of Christ, and I concentrate on, as I said, white, heterosexual males, Christian males, until we arise, the whole thing's going to be, it's going to be worthless. So let's watch this 3-minute commercial on Trump. And again, notice the WASPs. Notice where this is all going on. Go ahead, Jared.
We'll make America strong again.
Can y'all hear it?
We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again.
The beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums. There is a life about to start when tomorrow comes. Will you join in our crusade? Who will be strong and stand with me? Beyond the barricade, is there a world you long to see?
And join in the fight that will give you the right to be free.
Do you hear the people sing? Singing the song of angry men. This is the music of the people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
Stable than when Obama made the decision to put Hillary Clinton in charge of America's foreign policy.
We will no longer surrender this country or its people
to the false song of globalism. The nation state remains the true foundation for happiness and harmony.
We will live again in freedom in the garden of the Lord. We will walk behind the plowshare. We will put away the sword. The chain will be broken and all men will have their reward. Will you join in our crusade? Will we be strong and stand with King? Somewhere beyond the barricade, is there a world you want to see? Do you hear the people sing? Say, do you hear the distant drums?
Man, whoever put that thing together is a psychoanalyst, that is for sure. But is anybody missing the theme? Do you see the theme that is running throughout that? Now, guys, come on here. At its very root, what is multiculturalism? At its very root. Come on, class. What is it? At its very root. What is it, Rich?
Division.
But it's something else. Multiculturalism at its very root is anti-Christianity. It's the idea that all religions are the same. You get that? Come on, fellas, this is a very, very big issue. This is the theme of multiculturalism. And what comes out of my multiculturalism? Why, Muhammad is just as important as Jesus. Buddha's just as important as Jesus. All religions are the same. All peoples are the same. Nobody is superior. And so what we're seeing, the underlying, see, people aren't getting it. They're calling it globalism. They're calling it ethnic cleansing. Whatever it is, the focus of it is the elimination of the Judeo, I don't even want to use that word, the elimination of the Christian God from the face of the earth. That's what it is.
Dave?
Yes?
I think you've hit on something here because it when you look at what is taking place and we're talking the last, hardcore the last 4 or 5 months, it really is, I don't know what the right word is, but it is a desire to bury Christianity. Now, I don't think they will succeed and we win in the end, and we've all been down that road of what's going to happen till then. But if you just look around, every step that some of these globalists take is to bury Christianity. It's to bury our faith. Now, what's going to arise, I don't know, but it's clear that there is a battle already being waged in this area.
Okay, so think about this. Right where you live, every one of you, right where you live. If there were a financial collapse come on September 30th, into October 1st, 2nd, financial collapse were to come during that time and the bank holiday comes, and let's say the bank holiday suspends normal banking, you can't get money out of the ATM, I don't even use them. For 4 days or 5 days or 7 days, is the Muslims going to be your problem? Who's the problem going to be?
It's going to be the American. It's going to be the American people.
It's going to be your neighbor.
Yeah.
It's going to be your neighbor. See, the threat isn't, they're trying to get us distracted as to what the real threat is. I'm going to confess right now. Michelle and I live in a cul-de-sac. Some of you have been to our house, and there's probably, in our whole housing development, there's 20 people, 20 homes. Michelle and I have lived there since 2002. How long is that? This is 2014 years. And in that time, I'm talking about me, the guy looking at you right now. I have been inside of these 20 homes. I've been inside. Let me count. One, two. I've been inside three of them. In 14 years, I've been inside three of the homes. I don't even know the people in my neighborhood. Is anybody else in a dire situation like that? I'm going to tell you something. I have a neighbor. This is my fault. I'm not blaming anybody else. My next door neighbor, the guy who lives right beside me, 14 years. I have never been in his house, nor he in mine. Now, part of it is the way the houses are set up. You know, he's not right beside me. There's a half acre between me. Well, not that much. There's 100 yards between me, my house, and his house. But if all hell breaks loose, hey, Rich, can I trust him? Is he on my side? No, it ain't the Muslims. It ain't the terrorists coming with bombs. It's the guy right next door to us. And see, that's happened also because of the whole thing that we're talking about, the destruction of Christianity, the destruction of the church. There was every one of those people in our neighborhood went to church. I don't know. How many of them do? Do I even know if they go to church? I don't know. I know what Lee does. I'm thinking about the guy, but he goes to church. No, they don't go. I'm thinking now, they don't go. They don't go. The homes in my, they don't go to church. We don't even share the same set of values anymore. How about where you live? How about where you live? What's it like where you live, Matt?
Exactly the same as what you're talking about, Dave. It's a bunch of Christians that call ourselves Christians, but really don't have the values that we used to years ago, because we don't take the time on Sundays to really do what we should be doing, and that's to socialize and visit with our, you know, go back and watch the old Andy Griffin shows. You know, those are the ones where the people really knew how to socialize on Sunday, not out doing all kind of stuff, but just sitting on the front porch, making ice cream, inviting your neighbors over. That kind of stuff don't happen anymore.
So if some of these guys making these predictions are right, we got about 2 weeks till hell's going to break loose. You better get to know your neighbors. Better right where you live. You better hang on now. Come on. Can we get down to the truth or down to the dirty? I'm sorry if I keep doing this. I'm holding the phone in my hands, and an old guy like me, my hand's getting a little tired. I'll try to quit doing that to you. Your neighbor's going to be your worst headache. If you have stored a little bit of food, or in my case, well, I probably shouldn't say it because they'll all be coming to my house tonight. We stored enough food for a while. By the way, a couple different places, not just in my house. Where are my neighbors coming? If they haven't stored food, where are my neighbors coming? Duh. You know, are you prepared? And what are you going to say when your neighbors come up and they want some food for their kids? And then you tell them no. What are you going to do when 4 days later they come back and they still haven't any food and they want some food and you tell them no? These are cataclysmic decisions that lie in front of us that most of us haven't even considered. Somebody weigh in. Sarge, you weigh in here on this thing, man. Am I missing the boat? And if I'm not missing the boat, what should we be doing?
Yeah. In fact, this relates to, if you remember the seed lady that was down at Dallas here, the Watchman, Lucinda Bailey. She talked about what's happening in Texas, where they're building intentional communities, where you get together with a group of, you know, 7 to 10 other families. They may not be your next door neighbor, but they bring skill sets, and they all have a bug out location. You know, somebody that owns 8 or 10 or 20 acres, and they have enough food stored up, and each family brings skill sets, whether it's a plumber, electrician, maintenance, water treatment, waste treatment, spiritual, whatever, because that's what's going to happen. You're not going to be able to rely on your neighbors if you haven't met your neighbor and know each other from the Holy Spirit. And it relates back to what happened when we first came to Louisiana with a group of men that had never known each other and the bonding that occurred. And why did that bonding occur? It's because we all are on the team because we all have the same spirit.
Amen, brother. Amen. And so I'm even thinking right now, just as you're talking, Sarge, I'm thinking about my own, are you ready? Family. Brothers. My blood brothers. Are they on the same page with me? When the crap hits the fan, do I open my home to my blood brothers? You guys are saying, are you kidding me? You gotta open the door to your blood brothers. Really? Do I? Do I? My brother comes over with his four kids and their girlfriends and my other brother. Really? Do I? Help me out, Rich. What do you do there, bud?
You know, from my standpoint, Coach, I've spoken the truth to them. And if they've rejected it, that was their choice, not mine. I mean, they have to be, they have to get on in the game, on the field, or I don't know that I can open my door to them.
Well, see, here, listen, guys. Please, I saw this, Larry, you saw this, Rich, you saw this down in Louisiana. When that devastation hit in that neighborhood, neighbor couldn't help neighbor because neighbor couldn't help himself. He couldn't help himself. And so it's not a situation if tough times come, which are surely coming, if tough times come, it would be great if it was just your brother. But it's not. It's going to be widespread. There's going to have to be a lot of hard decisions that are made. Back in the 1930s, October, what was it, 29th, 1929, when the stock market fell, although I probably may have the wrong date. When the stock market fell, people shared common values. Those WASPs, right? They were all WASPs. There was a sense of Christianity, a sense of community. Today we live in a dog-eat-dog world. Because we live in a dog-eat-dog world, you got to know this, that even the people you think are your friends, you can't trust. They may be going to church, but they're hearing a different gospel in their church. I don't want to scare anybody. I don't even want to get bogged down on it. I'm just telling you guys, this is a huge, huge issue. People that have laughed at me and laughed at you, when you tried to warn them, they're going to be the ones knocking on your door. Coach, you're a good Christian man. You have to help me, Coach. You're a good Christian man. Yeah. Did you keep your lamps trimmed? Did you? Because you're supposed to keep your lamp trimmed. And I was trying to tell you to keep your lamp trimmed, and you said, oh, you're just crazy. You're just crazy. I said, tell them to people I love. You got a little bit of money aside? Things go bad and you can't go to the ATM for a week. You got a little bit of money aside? Look at me, laugh. You probably go talk to my other brother and laugh about me. So it's this serious stuff, man. Serious stuff. I'm going to close out this chapter of the show. Anybody got anything you want to throw in here? Anything about what we ought to be doing or how we can do it or anything like that? Raj?
I would like to say that, you know, something Dale shared with us down in Louisiana about when his neighbor first moved into his house, how his neighbor, once he found out that Dale was a preacher, he had that reaction like, hey, I want to build a 40-foot fence between my house and your house. He says, because in my business dealings and what I do in business, he says, the people that have stabbed me in the back and lied to me and hurt me the worst were preachers.
Amen.
And I have run across that when I had my sheetrock business. The other subcontractors or even the people I contracted with, you know, a general contractor, the contractors that did me the dirtiest or the other subcontractors that stabbed me in the back, they were all supposedly Christians. It's just
Larry, it's like this, man. Roger, hang on. I'll get you there in just a second. It's like this. I get really leery when I run into people and they say to me, hey, do you know so-and-so?
And I say, I know of him. I don't really know him. Oh, you got to get to know them. They're a great Christian family. Boy, my antenna go up. They are. What does that mean? Yes or no? That's where we are. We can't even trust that they're a great Christian family because it's not the same Christianity everywhere you go. Go ahead, Raj.
Oh, I just love representing pagans. They're much easier.
Why is that, Roger?
They listen to you. They're common sense. They're not wanting something for free. Pagans are great clients.
Brother, isn't that the truth, huh? Isn't that the truth?
Hey, Coach, you've been walking around Mark 13, verse 12.
I don't have my Bible with me. That's why I haven't opened up a Bible yet. I apologize, man.
Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death.
Okay, Sarge, let's do this again now that Jared's got it up on the screen. And again, I don't want to touch my screen because I'm afraid I'm going to lose something. Where are you there, Sarge?
Mark 13, verse 12.
Stay right. Let's stay there. Let's stay in Mark 13 a minute. In fact, you say it starts in verse 12. Sarge, go back to about verse 8. Start in verse 8 and then read that to us. Mark 13, 8. I don't have my Bible in front of me, so I'm doing it from memory.
For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom.
Stop. You understand they're trying to foment that? They're doing us every... Hang on a minute. What if we can trust Putin? Wait a minute. If you were to right now make the biggest bet you've ever made in your life. JR wanted to bet me a Coke the other day over Hillary. Remember that? I said, I'll bet your house. He didn't want to bet my house because it was a little bit more than he was willing to lose. So let's say we were all going to go all in right here. All of us were going to go all in. Ready? All in. Throw it out there. Who's more likely a Christian? Putin or Obama?
My vote's on Putin.
Who's more likely a Christian? Putin or Hillary? Who's more likely a Christian? Putin or Trump? On that one, I don't know. Trump's more Christian than Hillary. Come on. He's more of a Christian than Hillary. Kingdom, a nation shall rise against nation. Sorry, Sarge. Hey, hang on. What time is it there? How much time do we have?
10 more minutes.
How much?
10 at least.
Okay. Go ahead, Sarge.
Let's get
it. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows.
Yeah, so don't even worry about those, man. That's going to happen everywhere. There's going to be floods down in Louisiana.
But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up
to
the councils.
Hey, Kevin, what's that mean, to take heed?
My interpretation would mean is pay attention.
Pay particular attention, right? Pay particular attention, not just pay attention. Pay particular attention to what, Kevin?
For they shall deliver you up to the councils.
Hang on. Who's they?
Well, that's the opposite team.
I'm just trying to get you to think as you read, okay? Just think as you read. Every word means something. For they shall deliver you up to the councils. Okay, who are the councils? Come on, we're talking about... This is so deep and so good. Keep going, Sarge. I'll shut up.
And in the synagogues ye shall be beaten.
What?
Beaten.
Now, why did he say synagogues and not churches?
I think he's referring to here the fact that the Sanhedrin is of the devil.
Well, and yes, but he's also saying, see, there weren't any churches.
That's
they
right.
They were synagogues.
Right.
And so we sit here and we read this and say, boy, he's sure talking about those synagogues. No. Church house is what he's saying. That's good. You're in this church houses. Can anybody say amen? Anybody experience that one? Huh? Yeah. Okay. Sorry, this is really good.
And ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake.
Who are you going to be brought before? Sarge, who are you going to be brought before?
Us.
Rulers and kings.
Us.
In America, who's supposed to be the rulers and the kings?
Magistrates.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. Go ahead. Sarge, I'm sorry. I'm going to give you a chance to read this whole thing again, man. I'm going to shut up.
And the gospel must first be published among all nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up.
Shall.
Take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost.
How about that one, huh?
Now the brothers, this is getting us to where I was. Now the brothers.
Hey, Sarge, stop a minute. He's telling you, it's going to happen, boys. This shall happen. And so listen, don't be afraid. Goes back to Ecclesiastes 7, what we were talking about yesterday. God, more glorious is the day of your death than of your birth. He said, boys, don't worry about this now, because this is going to happen. And it's like when you're taking somebody out on a whitewater raft ride. You prepare them for the rapids. Say, listen, you got to hang on to the sides. You got to get your feet in there good. You got to hang on. The rapids are coming. So the Lord's telling us, hey, boys, the rapids are coming. Hang on here now. And you're going to go through those rapids. Go ahead, Sarge.
And now the brother shall betray the brother to death.
Yep.
And the father the son. And children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death.
Mm.
And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
Can we just do those last two sentences? Those are so stinking powerful.
And ye shall.
Hang on, Kevin. I'm sorry. If you believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible. Now, if you believe it's just a fairy tale, if you believe it's just a book of whatever, if you believe the Bible is true, this is Jesus himself speaking about the rapids that y'all about to ride through. Read those last two sentences again, Kevin.
And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved.
He says he's going to make it through the rapids.
Now, I didn't see this earlier, but I need to read 14. I need to read the next line.
Hey, Kevin, it's always what I say. Read before and read after so you get a great context.
But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. And here's my comment to that paragraph, that one verse, 14. The Pope is in Israel right now, and we don't know what he's about ready to do, but there's all kinds of speculation. He's announcing one world religion or an ecumenical global movement, or, you know, maybe there's going to be disclosure for UFOs. I don't know what he's going to talk about because I haven't seen any news yet. But whatever he's doing there, you know, the question mark becomes, is this the beginnings of or part of the abomination of desolation? Because he's in Judea and he's going to get ready to open his mouth and tell the world religions whatever he's going to tell them. That concerns me. Uh-oh, did we lose Coach?
Yeah, Coach is gone.
Correct. Any comments there, guys? That's heavy duty.
Almost to the rapids.
Yeah, exactly. We could be in stage here, what they call level one waters, waiting to get into level three here, or four or five.
I would have to agree with you, Kevin.
Well, I know my take. Even in the Bible, they said they were in the end times. The end times. This is the end times, you know. The past 2,000 years has been the end times. So, and there's been war the whole time. And there's been earthquakes and all this other stuff. I don't know. I don't quite buy into it personally.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Jared. When I first turned my life over to the Lordship of Jesus, I was around a lot of ministries and things that were really into end time stuff and everything. And I allowed myself to get caught up in it for a little while. But then I ran across the verse that said, keep on keeping on. Doesn't matter whether it's end times or they're getting closer or not getting close. Just do what you're supposed to do and keep on keeping on. So I was just dumb enough to think it knew better than I did. So I just try to keep on keeping on, let everybody else worry about whether the end times coming next week, next month, or happened yesterday, you know?
Yeah. But that doesn't mean we don't prepare. Like what Kevin and Roger says, you know, you keep on moving and you keep being prudent and we keep moving forward with our lives and being smart about it and being prepared for what calamity may bring. But at the same time, if we focus on, well, you know, we're coming into the end, it's going to end, you know, and then, well, it didn't end, you know, and here Jared, we are.
Yeah. So. I think one of the things, Jared, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
I think the preparedness thing, I mean, I spend some time on end times, not big stuff. I always look at the formation of the nation of Israel, blah, blah, blah. But the problem with, see, most of the men on this huddle would help others. We would prepare physically, mentally, emotionally. We'd have our little food, MRIs. We would prepare, and we probably would have a heart to help others. The problem is, others are going to want to come and take. And that's where the problem's going to be, is I think our spirit would be to prepare to assist and help others physically and spiritually when there's problems. But I'm concerned that the others are coming to take. And so now I've got to prepare a little bit for those that want to come and to take.
Right. And doesn't this tie in with what Larry's message was yesterday, which is brotherhood, okay? You help your brothers, but, and here's something that I've learned from kind of getting into business a little bit is you have to help yourself. You have to be a functional human being yourself to help others. Okay. And then if you have a family, you have to be a functional family yourself to help others. So if people come in and they say, hey, can I have some food? I'm starving. I think a good judge is you look at yourself and you say, okay, can we afford to give away this food to them? Number one, they'll know how much food we've got. So there's that political side of it. But, and the answer may be no. If the problem's going to last a month, you think it's going to last a month, you have enough food for a month, and they come in and they say, we're starving. You say, no. You can't have food. I'll come help you find some if we can or something. But right, you have to be able to function yourself as a unit to be able to help others.
Yeah. Jared, remember this. You talk about making a decision whether to help or not. Remember, the Bible calls the virgins that had their lamps trimmed, that had the extra oil, the Bible calls them wise. The Bible says that the virgins who didn't have the extra oil were foolish. And the Bible records that the wise virgins told the foolish virgins, no.
There you go. I think that's a good ending. Does anybody have anything else to say?
Good Roger, show.
You're trying to get in.
Yeah.
Praise our Lord Jesus.
Amen. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Sorry for the technical difficulties again, and we'll see you tomorrow.